It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right. Good morning. Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. We're glad that you've chosen to join us. Be sure to check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud. We'd love for you to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. This morning, I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Barnes, President and Executive Director of Apex Atlanta. Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Good morning, Scott. It's good to be back in the ATL.
It sure is. We took the show on the road this past week to Clemson University's International Center for Automotive Research, which was a pretty neat show.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of, obviously, locally, Georgia Tech. Great facility, great students, great organization. But that Clemson out there with working with the South Carolina government right there in Greenville, they've got an impressive operation.
Absolutely. Really enjoyed sitting down and speaking with Suzanne Dickerson with the South Carolina Council on Competitiveness and Chuck Baker with Michelin. Great show. One of the data nuggets that stood out for me, Chris, was that what Suzanne shared, by 2040, the amount of freight that would need to be transported via South Carolina infrastructure would increase by 81%. I'd be curious to know what that number was in other markets. Certainly a huge need to invest in our country's infrastructure. What do you, any guesses of what you think that number would be in Georgia or California?
I would say at least that, if not more. I mean, obviously, the more interstates you have, the more of a, if you have a port, obviously, on any of your boundaries, obviously we have Savannah, getting product in, and obviously if you, we kind of look at it from a logistics perspective, you have your, what I call the NFL cities. That's basically where there's enough of a population to support an NFL team. That's typically where you're going to find a lot of the distribution centers, because that's where most of the consumer base is. And in those cases, obviously, infrastructure is going to be huge, and it just continues to grow, especially if you start looking at these megatropolises where things are just starting to, like Atlanta, for example, we're absorbing pretty close to Alabama. Yep. We're starting to absorb other places.
Supply chain city. So certainly, as we mentioned, huge need to invest in our country's infrastructure, for that matter, just for current state and certainly for future state. We're looking forward here on Supply Chain Now Radio to interviewing Congressman Drew Ferguson of Georgia's 3rd District in late February. He's going to give us insight as to what Congress is looking to do when it comes to reinvesting in our infrastructure. And Chris, I believe that's February 25th at 2 p.m. Eastern time, so we'll see.
Great, look forward to it.
Stay tuned on that. Okay, so we're going to be talking today in, I think this is episode 49. No, 48. Episode 48. So Chris, today we're going to be talking about two things. First off, we're going to be reviewing EFT's Supply Chain Hot Trends 2019 report, which was released here just recently. Chock full of information. Our research team, led by the irrepressible Malcolm, has really been chopping that up and reviewing it and sharing some of their key insights with us. So we're going to be talking more about that. Secondly, we're going to be offering a sneak preview to EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit, which is coming to Atlanta, the Supply Chain City, in June 2019.
Yeah, and Scott, I'm a little old school, so is that I for Transport? Is that what EFT, or they still call it I for Transport?
They do, yes, okay. They sure do. They refer to the acronym quite a bit, but yeah. You know, EFT does a ton of research and a ton of events around the world globally, based in London, if I'm not mistaken. So looking forward to a great event. And speaking of that 3PL and Supply Chain Summit, Supply Chain Now Radio is very pleased to be a media partner for that event. They've got a bunch of home run speakers from some of the leading companies doing big things in the world supply chain. So looking forward to welcoming them with open arms in June. All right. So, Chris, with that being said, we're going to start the show today, like we always do, with some of the top things to know in supply chain now. And if you've been following our show, you know that we have been tracking with Atlanta being such a great competitor for landing Amazon's HQ2 project. We've been tracking this whole Amazon journey, right? And one of the biggest stories in the supply chain world this week that broke yesterday was Amazon and New York are no longer a thing, Chris.
No. Broke up?
Wow, that's... So a great article from the New York Times about this HQ2 Project News. Many of you that are in supply chain, I know this is, you've already heard it, right? Because you heard it within the hour that it broke. But Thursday, Amazon canceled its plans to build a huge corporate campus in New York City after getting a ton of backlash about nearly $3 billion in government incentives. Amazon is part of its extensive search for a new headquarters. You know, again, we've covered just about on a play-by-play basis here on Supply Chain Radio. Anyway, Jeff B. and Amazon had chosen Long Island City, Queens, as one of two winning sites. It was supposed to create more than 25,000 jobs in the city. But as the New York Times article cites, the agreement to lure Amazon ended up stirring an intense debate about the use of public subsidies to entice profitable companies, wealthy companies in some cases, some folks would argue. The rising costs of living in rapidly gentrifying neighborhoods and the city's very identity. And that's from the New York Times. A little bit of an editorial slant on that, maybe. This is one of Amazon. Amazon came out with a statement. And here is one of the quotes from the statement, Chris, that I thought was interesting. Amazon stated, quote, "A number of state and local politicians have made it clear that they oppose our presence and will not work with us to build the type of relationships that are required to go forward."
That's a big statement.
Yeah,
that is really big.
Putting it out there.
It's a slippery slope. I mean, you need to have, in a capitalist society, you need to have jobs. That's the key thing. And a government's, some people would say that could be their role, is to provide jobs. I don't know that I agree 100%, but it's certainly not government's job to prohibit jobs either. So,
well, what I found interesting is that when the news broke in the same hour, you saw a lot of social media chatter about how cities, all of a sudden, economic development folks ended their lunches and went back to work, you know, thinking that, you know, they're going to be vying again for this big project. But however, the article reports, and as other media outlets have reported as well, that Amazon still is said to be taking the 25,000 jobs that would have gone to Queens and spread them out over its 17 tech hubs across the U.S. and Canada, including, it should be noted, in Manhattan. So, and of course, along with that, the 25,000 jobs is still going to Northern Virginia and 5,000 Nashville. So,
I would expect that's good news for Atlanta. I mean, we've got a major office here. I don't know if they're going to absorb any of those people, but that's probably a good sign for us locally.
You know, I think when the decision was made, a month or two ago, whenever that was, and you know, we had all been, if you're in supply chain in the Atlanta, in the Metro Atlanta area, it was kind of a neat thing to get behind and kind of be an ambassador and talk about and all that good stuff. However, when the deal was made with New York, there was lots of chatter, I think, in all the other markets that were buying because of all the incentives that, were being passed along to Amazon and what it cost, you know, the state and the markets and the infrastructure and you name it. So I'm going to put a positive spin on this because I think with this development, you know, all those other 17 tech hubs are going to gain without giving up as much in terms of incentives and a trade-off. So it could be, you know, a good hybrid solution, which would be good for all the markets.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not a big proponent of government spending money, as you said, what they're giving to Amazon. But you also have to look at what is the definition of spending. Maybe it could be that the taxes that they aren't going to get, they may classify that as spending. So I wouldn't necessarily say that's government giving them anything. It's more government not getting as much as what they could get. But again, But I also compare it to something we're very, very fortunate to have in Georgia, Scott, is the film industry. So
huge.
If you look at that, it's been a boon. I don't know economically, but it's been a boon in terms of jobs, activity you see around Atlanta, the metro area. And that was, a government industry kind of collaboration where it actually started with Jimmy Carter a long time ago. He put the tax incentives in place. And I think it's been nothing but positive. Again, I don't know economically, but at least from
multi. Yeah, we had folks from Newton County on a few months back, and they're big friends of the show. They're doing some really special things down there in Newton County. And as part of that interview, we talked about the very measured return on the economic impact of Hollywood of the South. I know that's not a phrase you love, Chris, but over $2 billion in terms of true economic impact. So you think about they have to set up their supply chains.
Yeah, and whether
it's as simple as, not simple, but if it's the caterers going in and providing food for all the film, for the the whole staff and crew, or props, or transportation, all this stuff. I mean, it's a huge, massive investment. And you know what? We should, to any of our listeners out there, we'd love to talk about and interview some of the supply chain managers in that industry. That'd be, I think, a neat spin. So I should say again, we love Newton County. Love coming to Newton County.
I think they're
really doing some neat things down there, and we really enjoyed having the mayor of Covington on the show back in June, I think. So, Chris, before we move on into the EFT survey, the supply chain trends report, hot trends, any other things you're tracking in the supply chain space this week?
Yeah, it's interesting, when I'm not being an excellent radio host, Scott, I do a lot of in the software space, specifically around warehouses. So I had the opportunity this week to invest a couple days with some customers in three different warehouses. And what became very obvious was all the facilities are full. I mean, in general, a rule of thumb for warehousing is if you're at about 80-85% capacity, you're considered full. These facilities are pretty much 90-95%, so they're over capacity. And it's all driven by, what I've been talking about for several months is the tariffs. Companies aren't sure what the tariffs are going to do to their P&Ls, so they're buying in advance. And when you buy in advance, you have to, your customers aren't necessarily going to buy in advance from you, so you have to store longer term. So that means your warehouses are filling up. And then that also combines with another phenomena. This is primarily in the CPG space or anybody that has a web business. If you're selling anything and it's sourced from Asia, specifically China, you have to deal with the Chinese New Year, and which pretty much they shut down for the month. And I don't know, I think we're in it right now. Combine that with the Chinese New Year with the tariff impacts, and North American warehouses are full. That's what I'm seeing.
So that's really interesting to know in real time. I mean, it's neat. Sure. I was talking to a manufacturing leader yesterday, and she was telling me about steel costs and how they've been bidding on projects far in advance, and they're having to rebid them because the price of steel has just about doubled. We'll see through this constant negotiation, to your point, how this is all going to shake out. But it's always neat to hear from folks that actually are living it, rather than, and nothing against we love our analysts, but you actually are out in the, going to the Gemba, right? Seeing where it's happening, seeing the impact with your eyes and ears, just like this manufacturing leader this is their livelihood. They know this stuff best. It's always neat to kind of get away from the mantra from, the political sides and all this stuff and really get to the root of what's really happening.
Yeah, and we talk about this, Scott, in our Apex Atlanta workshops, whether it's a CSCP or a CLTD workshops through Georgia Tech. But we're talking about these things, discussing it with different companies. And it's, as you said, it's neat to take the theory and see it actually, what's happening, how people are using it.
Yep. And so before we move on to the talk about the supply chain hot trends, we should recognize our sponsors. Apex Atlanta has been serving the Metro Atlanta for over 50 years. It is the local chapter of the Apex organization, which is now part of the Association for Supply Chain Management. And as Chris mentioned, one of the biggest reasons why Apex Atlanta exists is to provide industry-leading supply chain certifications. And that's part of the Georgia Tech Supply Chain Logistics Institute these days.
It's a fantastic collaboration with them. They obviously have an excellent brand globally. And just to have them take us under their wing and offer our intellectual capital under their umbrella says a lot. So I'm very pleased with Tim Brown and their organization.
And we've got the next round of boot camps coming up in
June and October.
June and October.
So June and October. So they're pretty intense. It's designed to it's not a traditional class, Scott. Where you go in one day a week for 3 hours. It's more of it's a boot camp, and that's what Tim wanted. He wants, we get people flying in from all around the world to take
Who's
the class.
Tim?
So Tim Brown. He is the
managing director.
We got promoted. Or I promoted him. I'm not sure which. Maybe he got demoted. But he runs all the content that they offer at Georgia Tech. And so his vision was is to get people fly in. It's not a one-day thing. And we basically take the CSCP class, which focuses on supply chain-wide concepts, and offer that for 2.5 days. So we kind of just baptize you in APEX terminology, focus you around, if you're going to do a self-study concept, how to study, what to look for, study practices, tips and tricks on successfully passing the class. But you also, Scott, you get a certificate from Georgia Tech, which goes along.
There's more?
There's more. And there's even more. If you buy today, we'll get you a free shipping and handling. Plus, the classes are part of the four-class management certificate from the SCNL.
That's fantastic. Cool. Yeah, I love how that relationship has continued to blossom. So good stuff there, Chris. We should also give a shout-out to TalentStream. These days, there's a huge war for talent going on. We've been thankful to be supported and sponsored by TalentStream from the very earliest days of Supply Chain Now Radio. You can learn more about TalentStream at talentstreamstaffing.com. And we should also mention the Effective Syndicate. The Effective Syndicate is also, we've been collaborating with them, Bo Groover over there, for a number of years. In fact, Chris, at 12 noon today, we have a webinar.
Today. Very nice. You're busy.
We are, the team here is very busy, right? We're going to be featuring Bo Groover talking about the psychology and business case associated with workplace organization. So it should be a neat webinar. All of his webinars have been neat and some of our most well-received. So you can tune in for that webinar at 12 noon Eastern time today.
And, Scott, I'll give one more shout-out. I talked about APEX Atlanta. Obviously, I'm kind of eating my own dog food in terms of being local here. But we also support other APEX chapters. There are many cities, larger cities across the country have APEX chapters. So if you are in a large city, you have a company or a couple companies there, you may have an APEX chapter. I'd encourage you to reach out to them, find out what educational offerings they have, what networking opportunities they have. If they don't have, certainly reach out to me, info@apexatlanta.org, and I can certainly help you with your educational needs.
Great. So big high five to APEX Atlanta, TalentStream, and the Effective Syndicate. So let's move right along. Let's dive into this Supply Chain Hot Trends 2019 report. And we're going to be talking about some of the key findings, both from the report itself and from our team's key takeaways. So EFT, as Chris mentioned, I for Transport, surveyed 765 industry professionals from the world's largest retailers, manufacturers, logistics service providers, which you're going to hear us talk about, LSPs, and solution providers. So this massive trove of data and insights were combined with powerful feedback from Expeditors, Panera Bread, and Noodle AI to formulate the Supply Chain Hot Trends 2019 report. So we're going to dive right into some of the key findings, both again from the report itself and some of the things that our team is considering a key takeaway. So Chris, I'm going to share first, and this comes from the report. They kind of summarize an executive summary of some of the key themes from talking with this, all these different data points. So when it comes to the global economic outlook, right, we had a great show on in December where we featured the Metro Atlanta's Chamber chief economist, and we talked 2019, what's this going to look like? Well, based on these findings from the survey, of all the folks that they reached out to and received information from, just over a quarter believe that 2019 will be a year of good GDP growth globally, compared to 45.9% of all the participants who expect it to be a weak global environment for economic growth. And then finally, one last bucket, 26.6, a quarter of the folks that they spoke to expect some sort of recession. So kind of a mixed bag there. And then one of the bullet point, and Chris, I would love for you to weigh in here on what we're predicting 2019. From the report, it remains a consensus that capacity issues are going to persist due to rising e-commerce demand, amongst other things. So over 60% of all respondents expect capacity to increase over 2019. And 75% of the LSPs, the logistics service providers, expect the same. But here's a little interesting here. 9.9% of the respondents expect contraction. So kind of a mixed bag there. Chris, anything stood out in your end?
No, I just again from an APEX standpoint, I can actually read this document. It's a great document because I've taken some of the APEX classes, and they talk about LSPs, logistics service providers. That's a term in APIX, IMF, International Monetary Funds. There's a lot of things in here that's it's pretty neat. As you said earlier, Scott, you take a class and you can actually apply it by looking at this document. But I think capacity is – I don't expect it's going to decrease any time in the next 12 months. I can't really see that happening. If it does, I think we're all in big trouble because this where it is today. It's a hot market. But I do expect it'll probably slow down a bit just in terms of it's very difficult to – continue the at the pace that we've seen over the past year and a half, 2 years.
Yep.
So it's kind of like, you know, the bigger you get, the harder it is to get bigger, that phenomena. But contraction, I'm not necessarily so sure about that. It's I couldn't really see that happening. I would be completely surprised if that happened.
Yep. Well, moving from the global economic outlook to some of the rising costs that and we all can probably feel this in our own and what we do 9 to 5, so to speak, although are there any 9 to 5 jobs these days, Chris?
I'm not sure. It's
not many.
There are, but it depends on what your goals and ambitions are.
So rising costs. From the survey, 61.7% of the logistics service providers report that their customers' most important challenge is cost reduction. Far ahead of the next challenge, which is visibility, which came in at 46.8%. So a big gap there between number one and number two. E-commerce, if we track on any metric in our top things known supply chain now on this podcast, we talk about the rise in e-commerce sales, especially year over year, which has been just generally speaking, 10 to 15%. You know, when you look at quarter one, you have 1 year and quarter, same quarter of the following year, that's the amount of growth we've been seeing. The survey here says the e-commerce sales are expected to increase from 25% in 2018 to 40% in 2023. Now, that's not year over year, but still, that's a huge leap.
Well, a lot of it's driven by just small businesses. I mean, that's where a large part of our economic growth comes from. Is small businesses, starting up, and because you can do e-commerce out of your garage. I mean, with the U.S. Postal Service, anybody that sells anything on eBay, for example, that's actually technically an e-commerce channel.
Sure.
Craigslist, and anything that you're buying something online. So I could see those numbers. Now, it may not be a true, Walmart, Amazon type of thing, but it's really anybody buying anything over the internet is classified. So I can see that trend growing.
Yep.
People want to start businesses. They travel to Asia, and they find a cool product, and they say, "Hey, I wish this was in my state or in my city in Atlanta. When I come back, I'm going to find out how I can source it, and I'm going to sell it out of my garage." And that's a possibility.
Well, I think one of the things, as a consumer and as a regular consumer of e-commerce, thanks to my wife Amanda, I think one of the biggest trends that we've seen and seen with other friends and households. Is that no longer is e-commerce for specialty items, the wants. But more and more, and where I think a lot of the growth is coming from, is where folks are getting groceries or they're getting dog food or they're getting things just because they can get it delivered to their front door and not have to run out to Kroger for 3 items, which we still do a lot in our house. But that's, I think, one of the main growth channels that we're seeing that's moving e-commerce ahead.
And a lot of that can be, we spoke about, Scott, a recent episode about predictive analytics.
Yes.
So you can actually set up, so think about it maybe as an Alexa or something from Amazon. I'll just use them as an example. They're pretty popular marketing-wise. So you can basically, with Amazon, you can kind of just tell it what you need to buy and it'll be sent. But still, you have to do something. What I see happening is maybe having an RFID scanner, and if you want to know more about RFID, certainly take the CLTD class at APIX. Mm-hmm. Having a scanner on your either trash can or your refrigerator, so probably your trash can. So when you throw away that last carton of milk, it senses that the carton is in the trash can. Obviously, it's empty or no good, expired, and automatically Kroger, Publix, whoever. Gets a message that says, "Hey, you need another carton of milk," and it shows up at your door the next day.
Love it.
That's very. So you don't have to make the decision. You made the decision to throw it away, but you didn't have to make the decision. Do I need to order more? And you can set that up. Basically, it's a lot for maintenance type of items. The consumables or the staples every day. But I see that happening.
I just hate losing that control point when that transaction is taking place.
But also, you talk about some people still enjoy. The sport of shopping.
Sure.
So it's sometimes it's an event for them to go out. So
yep.
it'll still be that. But I see, yeah, e-commerce is just the possibilities. And then you start throwing in the transportation piece around drones, as we spoke about in a recent episode. Those are going to just continue to grow. From an Apex standpoint, the terms – Apex is all about terminology, and the drones have, say, I'd say, added, from my perspective, probably 20 new terms in the past year, just in terms of, for example, swarm is a drone concept in a warehouse where you send out multiple bots to a specific space to help you picking. But that's just going to help facilitate faster, more efficient, give more ideas. Having drones delivery is going to give you more options on the e-commerce side.
So moving right along here, so we all know e-commerce is not slowing down anytime soon. Death, taxes, and e-commerce, I think, are the new constants here. So LSPs, moving on to the next bullet point, LSPs are also reporting that their two biggest challenges in the last mile are adapting to customer demands, and 26.6% of the LSPs reported that, and, of course, overall cost levels. I really thought the overall cost levels would be bigger than just 21% of the LSPs reporting that as the biggest challenge.
Yeah, cost is always going to be a factor. I mean, that's always going to be number one. This basically in a capitalist against society, that's what you're being measured on, and in business terms. But you take that out, and my view is I think visibility is going to be a big deal, even in e-commerce. But if you look at supply chain trends overall, knowing where your product is or where the status of your PO or if something got picked in time to be picked up by UPS at 3 o'clock. So if those things, if you don't know what you don't know, then you're going to be in trouble. And so visibility, supply chain visibility is going to be key as well.
Do you ever know what you don't know?
I don't know.
So moving right along, let's talk about, we all know whether in supply chain or otherwise, the shortage of truckers, right? Tough problem to solve. It's such a huge problem. And there's some generational challenges, just some priority challenges, some career choices, right? Big problem that you're not going to remedy with a silver bullet. But what the report cited and what we've already been tracking for a long time now is the growing shortfalls in warehouse workers. If you look at Supply Chain Now Radio webinar programming, our biggest webinars of 2018 were focused on the challenges of attracting and retaining warehouse workforce. Brian Devine with Pro Logistics, which is the most successful specialty staffing company in the U.S., gave a great, they had a survey where they had 15,000 of their associates share what motivates them, what they're looking for, how they can be kept. And, one quick takeaway, and Chris, I know we've talked about this before, but this was one of my biggest takeaways from that webinar is just how many people that work 40 hours a week at a warehouse have to add a second job to pay bills. So you're coming home after putting in a 8-hour, 10-hour day, feeding the kids, and then going right back out for a second job. I mean, holy cow. And almost 50% of the folks they surveyed in that Pro Logistics survey had worked two jobs at some point in recent years. So a lot of hardworking folks, and DCs and warehouse workers, if you don't already know, you can't pay like it's 1987 mm-hmm. if you're going to expect to get good work, good talent, and keep it.
Yeah, I was just with a customer yesterday. He said, and I was had took one customer to visit another customer, and they started talking shop about the labor crunch in their specific area. Obviously, they were ironically competing for the same labor pool, being neighbors.
Yep.
But they said their challenges. They typically will not hire overqualified people. I mean, I don't know what overqualified is for a warehouse, but because what they've found is they said at max or at minimum they're going to stay a month, and because they're going to realize how hard it is, how labor intensive it is, they're going to go out and find something new, especially in a hot job market. So I think that has something to do with it.
Yep.
But looking at from a warehousing perspective, I while the actual labor part may not be a good long term career strategy, I think it should fit in with where you are in your life at the current point. But, I remember back in college, and this ties right into one of the great companies in Atlanta, UPS. A lot of the managers, Scott, and leaders in UPS started in the warehouse. Yeah. Maybe not even in the warehouse. They started loading trucks. And I remember in college that there were people, some of my colleagues, they worked weekends, evenings, overnight, working at a UPS facility loading trucks. And now they're engineers, they're lawyers, or whatever they are. And if you talk to a lot of people at UPS, I say a lot, what's your definition of a lot? Mm. You can meet people at UPS that started in the warehouse.
Well, I love any company that provides its current team members with opportunities to move ahead, move up. I think UPS. I've made the same observation. You know, clearly, UPS is a supply chain super competitor, Fortune 100 company. Mm-hmm. It's based here in Atlanta, big part of the supply chain city. And of all the folks we meet at APICS meetings and other industry association meetings, you meet folks that work at UPS. Oftentimes, maybe upwards of 50%, they got their start loading trucks.
Yes.
And that there's a lot to be said for that. So you talked about warehouse, and I want to move to this next bullet point because we want to talk about the upcoming conference. So automation has been lagging, according to this findings here, lagging in the supply chain and continue to do so in 2018. However, according to our findings, this is going to turn around quite a bit as warehouse automation is now the top investment priority, rated as a key area by over 55% of respondents. So what's your take on that, Chris?
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. Typically, historically, warehousing has been considered kind of maybe the stepchild of the industry. And it's like if somebody got sick or they needed light-duty work, doctor told them they were on light duty, they'd send them to the warehouse. So it's kind of like an afterthought. Now warehousing is a profession, but there is still a cost associated to the warehousing, you know, storing stock, putting product away. But you can also take that from being a cost center into a profit center. So if you can start doing value-added services, which takes a bit more technology, postponement strategies, cross-docking strategies, adding labels, doing kitting functionality within warehousing, that adds value to you as a component in the supply chain, as a node. But it also requires a bit more technology, unless you just have a full staff of management. That's all they want to do.
Yep.
So the technology is, and if you look in Europe, especially that because of their, they're leading in term. They were leading in terms of automation in the warehouse, maybe robotics or automated storage and retrieval systems, and that was driven by their lack of space. They just didn't have enough landmass like we do in the U.S. Plus, they have a different labor profile. Maybe labor's a bit more costly than it is in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, they were able to make better, quicker investments in the automation side. So I definitely see that. And again, back to the drones and the robots and things like that, that's a big, I see that really happening quickly in the warehousing space.
So let's talk one final thing about automation. The survey really illustrates from its findings how much improvement, how much of an improvement opportunity there is related to automation. And if you look at their the adoption rates of fulfillment robots, for example, only 10%, just over 10% of respondents reported adopting those practices, that technology. And then just 13.2% of retailers, brands, and manufacturers reported that they used automated picking machines to deal with peak season. So huge opportunities for a lot more penetration there for automation.
Sure, and it doesn't have to be robots specifically. I know there's some resistance to that. One of the new things I've seen in the warehousing robotics is a concept called Followbot, Followbot, and that's basically where the robot will drive around the warehouse, and the operator follows the robot to this place to pick. It's almost for our warehousing geeks, it's almost like a mobile pick to light application, where the robot drives to the bin the bot goes to the bin that needs to be picked. And then gives you a message that says how much product to pick from bin XYZ. The operator picks it. So it's a very interesting concept. But it comes back to the human psychology. You know, that kind of gets humans into being the child of the artificial intelligence at that point. So who really wants to follow a robot around the warehouse and be told what to do? That's one of the things.
I need a couple of those at home, those follow bots.
All right. Well, it's interesting. You look at the bots and... And it's all new technology. I think the costs are still a bit out of reach. But I don't know if anybody has one of the iBots or the vacuum cleaner bots or whatever you call them. There's a couple different brands out there now. We have one in our house, and I don't know how well it works. You know, it seems to get the straight line paths pretty clean, but there's still dust in the corners. But those are basically the bots that you see in a warehouse. It's just I look at it from a technology standpoint. It's pretty cool. I push a button. It has a little home base. It goes and starts running around, bugging the dog, getting the wires all caught up and everything. But still, it's pretty cool. It knows it's got bumps. It's got sensors. It doesn't go under the furniture. It kind of knows what if it's going to run into my foot or whatever. And then at the end, when the battery gets low, it starts beeping and it finds its home. And I don't even have to do anything to tell it to go back. So that's pretty cool stuff. And that's kind of what I see happening in the warehouses.
Definitely. Definitely. So Chris Barnes and I here at Supply Chain Now Radio, we are reviewing and giving you, our audience, some key takeaways from EFT's recent Supply Chain Hot Trends Report for 2019, which was just released in the last couple of weeks. These insights come from surveying 765 industry professionals from across the end-to-end supply chain. We can't have a supply chain conversation without talking blockchain, I don't think. I think it's against federal law. Blockchain, they report, came up time and time again as one of the key trends to watch amongst their respondents. And according to their findings, logistics service providers are leading the way on blockchain, with 31.2% working on either testing or implementing the technology. That number, 31%, compared to 18.4% of retailers, brands, and manufacturers that are currently testing or implementing blockchain. One other note here, and if we look specifically at pharma, that's expected to be the industry vertical that will be transformed most by blockchain adoption in the supply chain, with 42.1% of respondents selecting it, saying that, you know, again, they're testing or implementing it. So we will see there. That would make sense, I think, given how regulated and how much transparency you probably would want in the pharma industry. Would you agree with that, Chris?
Yeah, especially, well, pharma is really where it's not new in the pharma supply chain. Blockchain is, I think the concept of blockchain, the name, the marketing name is new. But there are companies out there, one I'll talk about is, it's called Supply Chain Wizard. I think they're based out of the Princeton area, but that's what they do. They travel around. They're helping companies specifically around visibility tracking within that supply chain pharmaceutical space. Because if you look at, you're probably familiar with terms like serialization, where everything needs to be tracked from, they call it, what are they, from farm to table kind of concept. So you have to know exactly where it came from, whether or not it was in temperature tolerance, who tampered with it, who opened the truck door, et cetera. So, but as a neat concept, again, I was with a customer recently. They have a market-leading nutritional supplement that you can buy, and they sell it through partners. And their challenge is they want to make sure that their product is not showing up on eBay's or the gray market for aftermarket sales. So every product that they sell has, or that they ship out of the warehouse, has an RFID tag, and we use RFID term again. So if you want to know more about that, check out APIC's CLTD class. But they have an RFID tag in every product label that they send out. And I was talking, and they use a warehouse management system, and I was talking, and I said to the manager, well, that's going to chew up your server database. I mean, if you have to track every product serial number, there's going to be billions of products that you're sending out over the years. And he's like, well, it doesn't take up a lot of space because what we do is we store this RFID tag information in the cloud, and when we need it, we will go to the cloud and get it, so we don't necessarily have it, so it's on-demand access. So they're not actually storing it on their local servers, which is that's kind of a blockchain concept, where something is available and you don't necessarily have to use it until you actually need it.
So this report, I mean, you know, we've just taken the last 15, 20 minutes to dive into this report. I'm not sure how many pages, Chris, you've got it there, but very comprehensive, very forward-looking and data-driven. If you want more information, you can download the report free. I think you just have to submit your contact information. You can do that at 3plsummit.com or EFT.com. You can go under the events page and find the Atlanta event, the 3PL and Supply Chain Summit in Atlanta, and you can find the report that way. If you can't find it, you can shoot us a note at scott@supplychainnowradio.com, and we'll make sure we get you hooked up with this really, really neat and chock full of information report put out by EFT.
Yeah, it's about 26 pages. It's very meaty. It's a good, great combination of graphs and context and content and verbiage. But it's a good read. I think it's good to keep. It's easy to look at things if you want to know more about a specific topic, blockchain visibility, international trade, commercial trade barriers. You can obviously go and spin off and read more detail. But it's a good place to get a high level view.
Yep. And so that really wraps up our key takeaways on this report. And we want to kind of shift gears as we move into the final segment here. And we're going to give a sneak peek of EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit, which, again, is coming to Atlanta in June 2019. And, Chris, you know, we see all kinds of events here in Atlanta. As part of being a supply chain city, we've got great, you know, the world's best airport and busiest airport. It's a destination city for a lot of these conferences. But I'll tell you, this conference here in June that EFT's assembled is got one of the more impressive lineups of speakers that I've seen at an industry at a recent industry event.
Yeah, if you just think about thought leadership, and if you go to events, everybody's got different reasons for going to events. But if you want to go to an event and actually learn about topics and concepts, a lot of the speakers I know, I mean, just happens to be, not that I know everybody, it's just happens to be that I know many of the people on this event, and they're very approachable. So I'd encourage you to go listen to what they have to say, maybe catch them in a break, a lobby, something like that, and don't stalk, of course. But if you're a big fan of supply chain, such as myself, you like to talk to people about how they think, how they got to their points, decision processes, and discuss the supply chain trends.
Yep. So not to bore our listeners with rattling off the dozens of speakers in every single session, but we want to give you a highlight. So this year's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit, again, here in Atlanta, June 10th through the 12th, is going to be held at the Westin Peachtree Plaza. If you register by the 1st of March, you actually could save $1,200, which is it's not pocket change. Sponsors, big sponsors, and there's a slew of them, but Technology, Uber Freight, Noodle.ai, Forward Air, Global Trans, who we had Bob Farrell on,
sure.
at SMC3.
Is he speaking, or is just somebody from his company?
You know, we need to get Malcolm on that. I'm not sure if Bob Farrell, who's executive chairman over there at Global Trans, is speaking or not, but a slew of sponsors and supporters. Let's talk about the keynotes, because I think the keynotes give our folks a kind of a snapshot view of the weight of the speakers and the topic. So this year's summit is going to be broken up into four main themes or industry topics, tracks, we'll call them. Technology, as you might imagine, e-commerce, logistics strategy, and then they group kind of this might be a typo here. Okay. So supply chain strategy. So technology, e-commerce, logistics strategy, and supply chain strategy. And as part of that supply chain strategy, cold chain is specifically a big part of that track, which, you know, given the lettuce issues we had in 2018, I mean, that's really risen to the top of priorities, it seems, right?
Yeah, well, cold chain is just another specific type of supply chain. It's more, obviously, it's focused around the food side, but that's where you get a lot of blockchain activity as well, because you have to sort, you know, track where product came from. And in cold chain, there are restrictions around temperatures, so tolerances, so you have to know if something went under tolerance, over tolerance specifically, and that's done through the blockchain concept. But yeah, that's huge. Food supply chains, cold chains are a big topic.
And you know why? Any guesses why this is Cold Chain's Week of the Year?
No.
It's their day to shine, Valentine's Day.
Is it?
Yeah, we talked about that on the last podcast.
Oh, yes.
It's amazing how fast, you know, we talk about two-day delivery.
Yeah.
And we're going to retail some more ground, but I think it's fascinating. You know, two-day delivery that certain folks out there have made the standard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes that's picking it from the DC to fulfillment center and getting it out to your door in 2 days, right? Pretty straightforward. Well, in the flowers industry, they actually are picking the flowers from South America or wherever else and getting it all the way through all their operations and then in the customer's hands in less than 2 days. That's a few extra backflips to make that happen, right?
Yes, it is. I've also heard Atlanta Hartsfield, Hartsfield-Jackson Airport is the busiest floral hub in the world.
Really?
Based on product coming in from South America and being distributed. So I don't know if that's fact. I'll have to check with Malcolm.
Yeah, Malcolm.
But that's until somebody proves us wrong, that's a fact.
All right. So that's good to know. Cold chain is very important. So let's talk about these keynotes, and then we're going to move to wrap up here episode 48 of Supply Chain Now Radio. So keynotes, they're going to lead off with Bill Dreigert, director of Uber Freight, and Yon Dewberry, Chief Supply Chain Officer with Land O'Lakes, and that's one of the big keynotes on logistics on demand and the rise of intelligent freight planning. And that's kind of the pre-conference day. So That's going to be June 10th. And then when you get into day one and day two, being the 11th and 12th of June 2019, opening keynotes, Edna Conway from Cisco, who's a chief security officer of the value chain at Cisco. She is going to be talking about opacity to clarity, driving security across your value chain. And, you know, we had Tanya Allen come out to the regional APIX event here in Atlanta at Georgia Tech in October, and she spoke specifically on cybersecurity within a supply chain lens. And, you know, it's good to see Cisco speak at a big conference, big stage on these types of issues, because I would argue that all the different programs and training and speakers and dinner meetings, you don't see many of those dedicated to the world of cybersecurity and supply chain.
Sure.
It's critical.
Sure, it is. It is critical, especially when you start talking. Blockchain comes into cybersecurity, so that's a big factor. I know, Scott, you know, I have a daughter going into college, and we're looking at career choices or academic choices now. And I would say 75% of the time we say she's interested in computer science, and the 75% of the time the comment comes back, oh, check out cybersecurity. Mm. That's a hot place.
Definitely. Lots of opportunity there. And then Peter Gibbons, speaking of opening keynotes here, Peter Gibbons is CEO of TireHub, and he's going to be speaking on Discover How TireHub is helping Goodyear and Bridgestone say yes to every customer. How about that?
That's key. Again, I was with...
I thought you had to say no sometimes, right?
Well, you do, but it's for new business, I guess. That's my... was with a customer yesterday, and he said, obviously, the reason that they like our solution is he can always tell his boss yes. His boss comes to him and says, hey, we need to take in a new product line. We're going to start working with the new company, doing a new shipping process. And so far, they've been using our solution. They've been able to say yes. That's pretty cool.
That is really neat. Not to walk through all the rest of these keynotes, you've got folks from Noodle AI and Technology both offering great keynotes. And then this last one here, I want to touch on real quick before we move to conclude here. You've got a panel event that consists of DHL Supply Chain, Nike, Patagonia, and Locus Robotics. And they're going to be speaking to the topic of leveraging emerging technologies to drive efficiency and improve service level. That should be a pretty neat panel event with some heavy hitters there.
Yeah, we need to be out there at that show, Scott.
We do. Well, we will be there.
Okay.
We will be at the 3PL and Supply Chain Summit in Atlanta, June 2019. And who knows, we may be broadcasting live. We'll kind of see how that plays out, Chris. But
yeah,
we will,
Scott,
be there.
And I'm looking at, well, thanks for telling me where I'm going to be, Scott. I appreciate that. I always needed another wife. The events.eft.com/SCSC/ is the Supply Chain Summit for Atlanta. I think it's called Mastering the Digital Supply Chain or something. Scott, what I notice is on the front page there, it's got UPS and DHL listed as presentation topics. You think there's a chance we might see a little fight at the show?
Tough question.
A little fisticus?
Moving right along. But speaking of UPS, we should, you know, as we both know, that they have been such a great supporter of APIX Atlanta, one of our sponsors.
Yeah.
They are host sponsor of the 2019 Atlanta Supply
That's
Chain
right.
Awards.
That's huge.
So we should give a shout out. Romaine Sigwin, maybe?
Yeah, easy for you to say.
Yeah. President of Global Freight Forwarding at UPS is a top ticket speaker at the Mastering the Digital Supply Chain, this great event coming to Atlanta in June 2019.
Then, Scott, you mentioned the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards coming up March 12th. I do expect you will see UPS at that event.
Fantastic.
That's all I'm going to say.
Well, so that's a perfect segue. So, again, to our listeners, we're a proud media partner of EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit, so we are partial. But I can tell you, and I'm sure Chris can, we both have been going to industry events and supply chain from APIX to CSCMP to work to ISM, you name it, for decades. And this is a pretty powerful lineup here. Let's segue over as we kind of wrap up here, episode 48, Atlanta Supply Chain Awards. So, Chris, you have not only been part of the planning committee, but you've also quarterbacked the judges panel. And I don't want you to you can't share anything. You get top secret clearance because nothing's been released just yet. But nominations are over.
Yes.
I believe the judges have deliberated, and at least we have our winners identified.
Correct.
Okay. And now we have sponsorships still open, and we have registration for the March 12th luncheon.
Yes.
That's open. right?
Yeah, it's an excellent networking opportunity to get out and see kind of what your peers and colleagues are doing in the space to improve their companies. Yeah, check it out.
And we probably have about 15 different awards when you include all of them, including, you know, the best we're going to be spotlighting four students that are from Georgia Tech, Clayton State.
Bright Future Awards.
That's right, Kennesaw State and UGA.
I think they've even got an award for the best judge. I'm giving that one out. Thank you.
So I've been asked a question a couple times the last couple weeks. Is that luncheon open to the public? It is. You don't have to be nominated. You don't have to be a sponsor. You don't have to be a winner. Of course, we'd love all of that, but it's open. As Chris mentioned, we're there to celebrate the successes across the end-to-end supply chain in Atlanta, the supply chain city. It's hosted by the Buckhead Club, March 12th, and you can go to learn more information at AtlantaSupplyChainAwards.com. Nice and simple and sweet URL.
Yeah, and as I said, I think UPS has an excellent freight forwarding organization, so I expect you will see them at the show.
Absolutely. Appreciate all of our sponsors there. All right, so let's talk about the Georgia Logistics Summit 2 days later, March 14th. This is the 11th year of a fantastic event. Major theme this year is going to be the Inland Port Strategy. Georgia is continuing to double down on the strategy as they stand up another inland port in Gainesville, Georgia. E-commerce, of course, is a major driver for this additional logistics infrastructure. And, you know, Chris, I know you'll celebrate this with me. It helps take some of the traffic off the road, right?
Yeah, it does. And then, again, we have to start looking at these regional inland ports, and that's kind of celebrating that success. But, yeah, you can't just being a longtime resident, Scott of Atlanta, you can't do everything downtown.
You sure can't. And that's going to be in Cartersville this year. Georgia Logistics Summit is going to be in Cartersville. We encourage you to check that out at GA, short for Georgia, GALogisticsSummit.com. All right, so in May, Chris, and as we wrap up here on a couple of final notes, in May, the Association for Manufacturing Excellence, AME, will be holding its Atlanta 2019 Lean Summit, in May. Great speakers, best practice sharing, networking, all focused on the world of manufacturing. I didn't know this until I was doing a little homework pre-show here. The program features about a dozen plant tours of some really neat operations, including Caterpillar, Ingersoll Rand, ZF, Fiber Visions, and many more. We are once again pleased to serve as a media partner for this outstanding organization that really supports continuous improvement in the world of manufacturing. And you can learn more at www.ame.org or of course, if you can't find this event, you can shoot us an email.
Yeah. So, Scott, I think, again, from a learning perspective, I think May is a lean appreciation month, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right.
Or we just made that up, but.
Let's call the governor and get him to sign something. We'll keep on moving.
Get him to sign it.
So that just about wraps up this episode. Chris, before we move to close, what is something that we missed?
That's it. Just, again, if you're interested in getting out, kind of take control of your own career. If you don't, you may end up where you don't want to be. And just get out and make things happen.
Got to get out and make things happen. And also get out and check out our upcoming events, replays of our interviews, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. We encourage you to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud, and be sure, if you would, to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. So, on behalf of Chris Barnes and Malcolm and the research team and the entire Supply Chain Now Radio team, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful weekend, and we hope to see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio.
Thanks for learning.